Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Episode number 748, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast, dear friends, is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, the church, it is my prayer, would be revived, and it is my prayer that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached the gospel first and best when he said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? Have you ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way? If not, dear friend, you need to do so today, for we are standing between the living and the dead. Hell awaits you if you die not saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will miss heaven. You will not go to heaven when you die if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will go to hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no limbo place where you can get things right or somebody can bail you out by paying money to the church or somebody can pray you out. That is a medieval lie. It is apocryphal. It cannot be proven. Jesus Christ never said there was such a place as a purgatory where you can go and have your sins purged. That's all made up. It's a fantasy. The truth of the matter is, according to Jesus, according to the Scriptures, as soon as you close your eyes in death, you will open your eyes in the torments of hell. If you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus and and no one else is trying to scare you. This is an eternal reality. When you die, either you're going to go to heaven or hell. If you believe in Christ in this life, you'll go to heaven. If you don't believe in Christ, you will go to hell. Jesus Christ preached on hell more than any prophet, preacher. Apostle or writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he wanted to warn us of this awful place, that this is our doom if we do not take advantage of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Jesus Christ is our Passover. This is how we get passed over from eternal death and hell. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who suffered and bled and died and on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. And that's why all he wants us to do is believe in him, look to him, trust in him. For the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to go and try to fix yourself and get yourself cleaned up before you come to Jesus. You can come to him as you are, just as I am, the songwriter said. Nothing in my hand I bring because I have nothing. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. You don't have to be in the presence of a priest or a preacher to get saved. You don't have to be a church member to get saved. You don't have to give a dime to any church to get saved. This salvation is so priceless that it is free, because you don't have enough money to pay for it anyway. And that's a fact. The richest man in the world can't pay for this salvation. Doing good works, philanthropy, giving money to organizations and churches and so forth, and that's all good and fine, but that will not save your soul. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ. Whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Believeth means to simply have faith in and to trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you will not perish, that is perish in hell, but you will have everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. And what's so wonderful about it is that God loves us so much, he wants us there. I know it's hard to believe, but he does. I don't know why he does, but he does. Is the love of God, which is hard for us to grasp. But he loves us, and he wants to save us. The question is, are you willing to get saved? Do you want to be saved? If so, believe in Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he'll save you. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer as you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Not in just a historical way. Yes, Jesus Christ is in the Bible and he's in history books. Nobody can deny his existence. In fact, history is split in half because of him, A.D. and B.C. So, trust in him today. Believe in your heart, in your soul, and in your spirit, and in your mind, in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And he will save your soul. Let's pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. My failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul from the hell that I deserve, and save my soul to the heaven that I do not deserve. Holy Father God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life by the power of Christ in me, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and help me to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted in Jesus Christ, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on your platform, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And now, dear friend, we will continue with the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service or devotional, already in progress, if you will, at the Scripture in the Sense station of the service. And we're getting ready to read Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I am still so moved by that story, a story, Lord, that I have read many, many times over the years and preached on and everything else. And yet, Lord, after 41 years of reading that story, it still moves me in such a powerful way. And so does the story when about Jacob and Esau seeing each other for the first time after a long time, and how that Jacob thought that his brother was going to kill him, but you intervened and loved, reigned. And I just give you the glory, praise, and honor for your holy word, every bit of it, every word, every jot and tittle. And I pray that your Holy Ghost would fill us and help us to understand and to obey it and apply it to our hearts and lives and to share it with others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt callously, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary. And Dr. Walvoord, Dr. Zuck, editors. The picture of Nineveh's destruction is completed as the prophet reiterated that the city, though apparently quite secure, would be shamed. Its king was arrogant because of its supposed impregnability. It was known as the carefree city, as its populace felt it lived in complete safety. The city was quite large, having with its suburban areas a circumference of 60 miles and a population of at least 120,000, in addition to an extensive outer wall. Pardon me. There was an inner wall with an 8-mile circumference, 50 feet thick and 100 feet high. Between the two walls was enough farmland to support the huge population. Nineveh's claim, "There is none besides me," was no idle boast. For approximately 200 years, she was superior in strength to any other city of her time. An attack on the outer wall begun in 614 BC by the Medes and Babylonians was initially withstood by the Ninevites, but a combination of trickery by the attackers, carelessness by the attacked, and a natural disaster finally brought victory to the attackers. The great inner wall collapsed because of an unexpected deluge that swelled the Tigris River in a normally dry season of the year and inundated the wall. Thus, the city was unexpectedly defeated. The carefree boasting of the city was hushed by her enemies, and all who later saw its ruins scoffed at her former haughtiness and pride. To scoff and to shake their fists were signs of contempt. God reduced the city miraculously and gave it to the wild beasts. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. Help us to take heed to it. Help us to preach it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death. To these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically, your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, "What to Do After You Enter Through the Door." Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time. Your